Know what?
Know what?
Milnut has a brand new label and a new low price.
Milnut?
Milnut.
Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now here with a tan and smiling face and music on records is Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. And once again, how do you do for Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum? Well, we have looked forward with a tremendous amount of excitement to today's quarter hour that we're going to spend with you, because it's also going to be spent with Mr. Records, the number one man in the industry of pop phonograph records, a fellow by the name of Mitch Miller, a very dear and close friend of mine who is the man, of course, who heads up the artist and repertoire department of the great firm known as Columbia Records. Mitch is seated, we hope comfortably, in a big armchair in the studios of WCBS in New York, who are participating in our activity today. And right after we listen to a record that Mitch was responsible for, we're going to talk to the Beard and find out the state of American music, which, as far as I'm concerned, is improving all the time because of his deft ability. Let's listen to one of his creations on Columbia, done by Al Morgan, a brand new record that I think has that nostalgic flavor that might make it a hit, called Don't Rob Another Man's Castle.
Don't rob another man's castle. No matter how lonesome you feel.
They say a man's home is his castle. He's like a king on a throne. It may be a shack down alongside the track, but everything in it's his own. So don't think of taking his loved one. It's written, thou shalt not steal. Don't rob. Just stole her from me.
That's Al Morgan with a fine new Columbia record. As I say, it's just a little bit on, if I may use the expression, cornball side, but I don't know, it pops, and so I like it. Al Morgan with Don't Rob Another Man's Castle. Joe Foss was nice enough to mention a little bit of sun and color that I got over the weekend, and he's so true. I packed up my little kit, my little knapsack with Wrigley Spearmint chewing gum, some sun lotion, and I went out in the open elements, out in the outdoors, as I suppose millions and millions of Americans did over the weekend. And I can assure you that that little knapsack of Wrigley Spearmint kept everyone in my party happy and contented, because it has a delightful way of refreshing and relaxing you all at the same time. And regardless of when you tear off that clean white foil and allow yourself the indulgence and the pleasure of chewing a nice flavorful gum like Wrigley Spearmint, I can promise you that it's five invitations to real relaxation. Because whether it's before the picnic spread or afterwards, whether it's driving home at night or the first thing in the morning, there's something always refreshingly good and delightfully swell about the minty flavor of Wrigley Spearmint. So even though maybe you can't get out in the elements until next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again, I hope that you won't desert the cause of good chewing and pleasant relaxation with Wrigley Spearmint. You enjoy it at your office. It has a way of helping to pass the tedious hours. In the household work, or whatever you do, whether it be drive or just loaf, you enjoy Wrigley Spearmint. It's a swell product for everyone in the family, always. Well, let's go to New York now via the magic of this electronic gimmick known as radio and pick the brains of Mr. Records, Mr. Mitch Miller in New York. How are you, Uncle?
Fine.
I wish you were. I wish I had your talent in my family. It would be very nice.
Well, Howard, I can only say that I wish I had your talent in my family. I'd be very rich.
Well, now the Mutual Admiration Society is over and we can get to business. Mitch, where are we heading? It seems to me like I spot on the horizon a new door opening, a door of good music. Am I right?
You're very right, Howard. I hate to say anything's good as against bad, but I say there's room for all kinds of music. You know, I always considered the record business like a 6 or 7 ring circus with all kinds of music going on at one time, and perhaps one is in the center ring for one show and another kind of music is in the center ring for another show.
Yes.
But there's always all kinds of music going on, and I think the public is becoming aware that there is more than one kind of music being made and being played.
Well, now, last week, Mitch, down in, I think it was Miami, Florida, a Dateline story from down there, carried on United Press, Associated Press, and International News Service, gave a great length in all of our metropolitan newspapers across the country to a speech that you made down there to the broadcasters. What substantially was it you said? I want to hear it from your mouth rather than from mine.
Well, Howard, the basic premise was don't underestimate people's taste. And that even if they're after what they call the teenager has a marvelous taste if only he's exposed to it. And that when they program only from so-called bestsellers from the stores, they are not giving you a balanced program because, let's face it, no store orders a record until a station or a disc jockey plays it.
Right.
And so therefore, the taste of the kids is first dictated by the taste of the stations and the disc jockeys. And they have a wonderful reputation for having created a good taste. And even though there's been what I call a little abdication to the sub-teenagers, to me, this wasn't good thinking because it's no different than turning a daily newspaper into a complete comic section or else turning over our younger brother or sister television completely to the sub-teenagers.
Yes. Mitch, I would certainly not be arbitrary with a man of your stature in the business, but just a moment ago, You made a remark that sounded a little bit like maybe you could cast some blame on the disc jockeys and the radio stations. I know that you are too kindly to all of us to do that.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that at all. I think the jockeys and the radio stations are trying to please what they think are the greatest number of people.
Well, but don't you think that you record men, not you so much because you have never reconciled yourself to joining City Hall, you have fought it in some of the great records you have made, but don't you think the blame actually goes back to the record companies who made 90% of their output bad records, commercially bad records, rather than good records?
Oh, they're very much to blame. Very much to blame. But, Howard, you know, if you're one of the fellows who listens to every record that comes in and screens it, and there are a couple of dozen guys in the country who do that. And from amongst the records that are made, I don't mean to shut out the independents, but if you take the major companies and take the releases that they give you, including albums and right on through singles, I think that there's a varied enough kind of music that can be programmed, and you've proven it.
Yes. Well, and the other blame, I think, goes back to the public, and God bless them. Without them, none of us would exist. But it
You're
seems
so
to
right.
me that you record people turn out a whole variety, just as you say, the 7 rings of music. And it's all there in the record stores, and this is the only pre-tested item that people can actually buy, isn't it? As far as I'm concerned, it's the only one I know of. You can try it before you buy it.
Right.
So that, therefore, you send out, we'll say, 4 ballads and 4 rock and roll tunes to the record stores. If they buy the rock and roll, you can't blame anybody but the public, can you?
That's right, Howard. Except one thing that the public has learned, and that is they have a very wide variety of emotions. And I don't think that any age group should dictate to the whole public what the public should hear.
Yes, and I'll go along with you that these kids, if they're exposed to good music, will like it and embrace it just as much as they will the so-called craze for a rim shot on a drum.
You're so right. Well, it's being proven now, Howard. Take Johnny Mathis, who has 2 big hits going at the same time, It's Not For Me to Say and Wonderful, Wonderful. Both are class quality ballads. The standards are being redone in different forms. If the kids want the beat, it's possible to give them a quality song in the style of a beat that they'd like to hear, but
sure.
still the song can be done in any number of a different style.
Now, despite the fact that, of course, that we love all recording artists, Mitch, we have one favorite, and it happens to be Mitch Miller. Now, let's talk a little bit about your record. Who Will Kiss Your Ruby Lips? This is a swell new one, a little bit in the idiom from Yellow Rose, isn't it?
That's right, Howard. Well, you know, this was the second anniversary of Yellow Rose, and Red Evans brought this song in to me about 6 months ago. I said, Red, I'm a superstitious guy when it comes to songs like this. Let me put it out about the same time I put out Yellow Rose of Texas. And so I did. It's been out a few days, and it's getting some plays.
Well, I wonder if that is just sheer superstition, Mitch, or whether that isn't really planned thought on your part, because this type of music maybe would lend itself better to a seasonal hit of summer than it would, for instance, in fall or winter.
I feel very strongly about that, and this one is sure a summer song in that sense, Howard.
Yeah. Well, it's a marching song. Is this written as an original, or did this come from some old lore of music, some old marching song in the United States Army?
Well, Howard, as far as I know, it is an original, and it sounds right enough to have been an old marching song.
Yes, I think it does. There's a lot of integrity there. Well, Mitch, let's play it for our combined associates and affiliates all over the country. About 164 cities simultaneously will be hearing this, and it's my prediction that it's going to rack up another big million seller for you. Mitch Miller, the orchestra and the chorus, Who Will Kiss Your Ruby Lips on Columbia?
That's all I want to know. Farewell, farewell, my darling, I'm taking leave of you. Farewell, farewell, my darling, no promise you'll be true. Who will walk you down the lane and bring you to your door? And who will kiss your ruby lips and maybe ask for more? Who will you be thinking of should someone hold you tight? And who will kiss your ruby lips before you say goodnight? Farewell, farewell, my darling, I'm taking leave of you. Farewell, farewell, my darling, no promise you'll be true. And lay them at your feet and tell you that the robin sings because you are so sweet. Who will stroke your pretty hair when gold has turned to gray and prove his love is just as strong as I will prove today? Farewell, farewell, my darling, I'm taking leave of you. Farewell, farewell, my darling, we'll promise you'll be true. La 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 la.
Kiss Your Ruby Lips, Mitch Miller, Orchestra and Chorus. Mitch, if you rack up any more gold platters for yourself, you'll have soup service for eight in your household.
Well, that would be a great future to look forward to, Howard.
How many records have you made for Columbia that have been gold records, Mitch, million or more?
26, Howard.
That many?
Yes.
A brilliant career and done, of course, by a man who probably achieves more in the record industry than anybody else in our business. Mitch, thanks for being our guest today, and thank all the boys at WCBS, will you?
Thank you very much, Howard.
Thanks, and I'll talk to you on our private line a little bit later today.
Right.
Right, Mitch. That was Mitch Miller, the artist and repertoire director of Columbia Records. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Pop Records in America today. This is Howard Miller also saying there's another number one in everyone's taste, and that would be the flavor of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. You get some and enjoy yourself, Mom and Pop and kids, and we'll see you tomorrow same time. Here in the meantime is Joe Foss.
Be sure to join Howard tomorrow at this same time when his guest will be Fred Lowry on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM Chicago. Everybody talks about the problems of teenagers, but not enough people do anything about it.